Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
One of my favorite segments of the week, Josh Pate, CBS Sports, joining us to talk college football. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and by Bobcat of Houston.
He's also known as America's college football analyst.
He really is. He really kind of is. Josh, you went to LSU last week, and you found out that LSU sucks against running quarterbacks, and now they're out of it. And Alabama's back in it. Georgia is the first team out. Should they be?
So it really depends on how you look at all of this. I don't think they should be, because I believe that there's a lot more to this than you just are what your record says you are. I do not apply professional sports mentality to college sports. So, I mean, I have a strange working theory here, guys, that had Georgia faced Brigham Young or Indiana schedule so far, they'd probably be better than a two-loss team. Probably. So I don't think so, but that is where they are. I think that committee is indicating that for all the talk about Tennessee needing to win this weekend, the must win is on Georgia, not Tennessee. There's still a pass for Tennessee. If Georgia loses a third game, whether they should be or not, they're probably out of this. And the other thing to think about here is notice they dropped 9 spots after losing to Ole Miss, which is interesting because I'm looking at Brigham Young at 6. I'm looking at Indiana at 5, and everyone's wondering, like, should they be up there and blah, 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 and this and that. Well, I'm wondering if Georgia can drop 9 spots with a loss, how far would Indiana drop if they lost their only competitive high-level game all year, and that is next week at Ohio State? And the same thing I'm wondering with Brigham Young is they got a couple of challenging games still in the regular season, but if they go even into conference championship Saturday undefeated, I still halfway think that committee's going to drop them, maybe not drop them out, but I think they'd drop them pretty significantly if they lost in their conference title game. So there's a lot, I think, to be learned from how far Georgia, of all teams, just fell because they lost a game against a really good team on the road.
Josh Pate with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and Bobcat of Houston. I don't think, especially if they're competitive with Ohio State, I don't think they should fall that far. Do you? Indiana?
Indiana? Yeah, I do. I think they should fall out completely. Not their
really
fault, but I look at the rest of the strength of schedule. I don't think I think there's still a default mechanism in people's minds, and mine kind of works like this as well. I got to be careful about this. There's a default mechanism that even if you play a soft schedule, if you're in the Big Ten, but you just kind of have this default in the back of your mind. It's like a safety net. It's still a Big Ten schedule, though. And 99 times out of 100, that would be true. It just so happens the way Indiana's schedule has fallen this year, it's horrific. It is a Sun Belt-caliber schedule. And I am not saying that as a euphemism. I mean, you go look at the strength of their schedule down in the 100s. It is akin to a Sun Belt schedule. And the way we would talk about a Sun Belt team is, first off, they probably wouldn't be in the conversation regardless, but if they were, you would say, all right, this Sun Belt team's playing a bad, inferior schedule, but when they go play LSU, they're going to have to beat LSU. That's mandatory. They've got to go win their one Power Four game. Indiana is playing a caliber schedule this year where it is Ohio State and also Rams left and right. They have got to win that game.
Now,
if they
now
lose
some of them
that game,
they become also Rams, to be fair. Like, to be fair, Indiana also, the Big Ten has turned into, you know, they just happen to avoid the teams that are considered the good teams.
It's not their fault.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
but it's
not Penn State's fault. It's not Miami's fault. It's not Notre Dame's fault. So I just did radio up there a few minutes ago, and I was going back and forth with the guys, and they were like, well, it's not Indiana's fault that their schedule's not stronger. And I just sat there in silence because I agree with
that.
Can
I ask you something?
But it's not anyone else's fault.
But you're do you handicap? There's no way, Josh, that you're not looking at point spreads. You're 100% a point spread guy, right?
Oh, I do. I do, absolutely. I put my own numbers out every week.
That's what I mean. You put your own numbers out. So I was formerly a handicapper and used to do my own numbers, and I was taught that way. The one thing I would argue here with you is one of the things that I look at is how do you play against expected performance? You beat Michigan State on the road by 37. You beat Nebraska, who gave Ohio State fits. You beat them by 49. You won by 14 at home against Washington. Not impressive against Michigan. You only win by 5. But you're stomping out most of the opponents you played. I don't disagree with what you're saying. You won by 29 against UCLA. Like, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but everybody they've put in front of you, you've beat the piss out of them for the most part. For the most part. So is one close win, if this is a competitive game, how much does that change? Obviously, if they get the brakes beaten off of them, they're a product of us not expecting much from them anyway. But if they play a competitive game, don't you think the balance of how they've played these other games should matter somewhat?
Oh, I love this. I love you for this. Okay. So this is like,
damn it.
You just
he's been thinking about
perfect,
it.
You gave the perfect response to me if we're on a debate stage.
Okay.
So now let's really get in the weeds here. I think like you do on this, performance above expected value relative to odds is one of the key metrics for me in my own numbers. That's why I have Indiana at 10 in a power rating this week, and I have Brigham Young at 22. The committee has them neck and neck. Indiana has validated, ironically, as much as I'm using this argument, you're right. They have validated themselves in a power ratings model. But just as much as I sit here and tell you that I don't believe Georgia should be number 6, even though I have them at 6, because merit has to matter and on-field result has to matter, and so Georgia should be lower than 6, I am also going to tell you that even though I view Indiana as totally validating themselves and performing well above expectation, in a merit-based world, I cannot argue that if they lose to Ohio State, I cannot argue that their schedule ever gave them the chance to prove themselves. And I'd make the same argument in years past about a Boise State who ripped through the G5, and we can make the same argument about them. They have performed so far above expectation relative to spread that they're dominating like an elite team would dominate. I agree with that, but they never had the requisite tests put in front of them that could expose them to injury as well as just playing their C-plus game and losing like these other teams did. Like, I make that argument both ways about how power rating shouldn't necessarily factor into ranking.
Josh Pate with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Josh, I mean, Georgia, they barely got by Kentucky. They got waylaid in the first half by Alabama. They had a nice comeback. They only beat Mississippi State by 10. Yeah, they had a really good game at Texas. 14 over Florida, got beat at Ole Miss, and convincingly. This is not the same Georgia team. This just ain't. I mean, I think we're looking at Georgia like, well, it's Georgia, and they're one of the top teams in the country. They might not be.
And, hey, I don't disagree with you. I think that's playing into this weekend's game a little bit. If you look at them being favored by 10, I know that rumor circulated about Nico Iamaleava maybe being out of that game for Tennessee. I think he's going to play, by the way. So let's say Nico's good to go. You're hanging a 10 spot? Like Georgia minus 10 against Tennessee. Tennessee has got a better defense at this point than Georgia. I would argue Tennessee's got better quarterback play. And by the way, if Nico starts to hit those deep balls, and Heupel's going to continue to call him up, if he hits any of those deep balls early that he missed against Bama, you understand what that does for Dylan Sampson in that ground game that has not worked well for Tennessee in the last few years against Georgia. If they get that balance early on and they can stop the run with a light box like Ole Miss did against Georgia, there is not a 10-point gap between those teams at all, and I don't even care if the game's played in Athens, and I don't care how different Tennessee's been on the road. I agree with you about Georgia. I think that there's still this voice in the back of many people's minds. I would be lying if I said I'm not hearing this voice. And that voice is telling you at some point, doesn't Georgia have to show up? At some point,
well, they did
don't
against
we get
Texas.
That version of them?
They did against Texas. It's the only time they've done it all year.
They did, but when we go back and I'm not discounting that game when I say what I'm about to say.
Okay.
But when we go back and look at that game, it's so non-standardized. It was a game where four of their six scoring drives started in plus territory,
yeah,
which is a huge credit to their defense. But that stuff is so randomized week to week that we have not seen Georgia have to put together four or five good solid drives and play complimentary football and win a big game all year. Like, they have not done that all year in that fashion. And in years past, that game they played against Clemson in week one, seems like 5 years ago, that's the way your mind says that Georgia games are just supposed to look. And that Clemson game was one of the biggest mirages, as it turns out, that we could have ever had plopped in our lap, because your week one result sets the default expectation. So everyone expected Georgia to just be this machine, and that is the last time they looked like that all year until that Texas game.
So give me, I'm gonna ask you some basic. You're a stats guy here. How many interceptions did Carson Beck have against Alabama?
Do
you remember?
Three.
Three is correct. How many against Texas?
Was it
three?
Two or three?
Three. How many against? What's the other game that they had recently where they lost two? I don't know how many Ole Miss. I think he had one. And there's another game right before Ole Miss where he had two.
Florida.
He had two. Carson Beck stinks. And here's a big problem for you. Your offensive line, who did not even make the Joe Moore Award semifinalists because their run game was so bad this year, their run blocking, they really can't run block. So the problem I'm having is you got a quarterback who gives the ball away and is nowhere near what you expected. You can't run the ball effectively. I'm kind of with you on this one. Like, I keep thinking if there's ever a time for Kirby, because in the back of my mind, I'm just like, I remember what he did to, Quinn Ewers, and I remember what he did when he was getting up for the Georgia game, for the Clemson game. But you can't forget the Alabama first half, and then they got their asses kicked. You know, it'd be one thing if there was a bunch of non-standard, and I'm going to steal that now that you said that, not standardized things happening in that Ole Miss game. Maybe you can say, well, it was some rain. Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, of all people, went out there and physically beat up Georgia. I can't forget that. And Tennessee is a physical front. Tennessee has a good defense. Tennessee has a couple of running backs that can really get in there and grind on you if you can open them up with the passing game a little bit. Like, this line should be 5, 5.5, realistically, I think, at Georgia is the number it should be. But all of us know, in the back of our minds, man, do we want to fade Kirby Smart again? Coming off of a loss, do you really want to fade Kirby?
Yeah, I would say this, though. So I agree with you. Having said that, if we're right about our theory that this is just not a Georgia team that is vintage, you can actually weaponize that. If you believe that ideology is baked into this number, but that Georgia team's not going to show up, you have such massive value baked into Tennessee plus the point. And I'm putting my money where my mouth is because I've already bet this game. I am a believer somehow, some way, Georgia's got to crawl over broken glass and find a way to win this thing. But giving me 10 points in the process is way too much.
Yeah. Josh Pate with us, brought to you by Bobcat of Houston and Damaris Barbecue every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Do you believe...
Now?
Do you believe now that it is going to be four Big Ten teams and four SEC teams in the playoffs?
Nope. I believe it's going to be three Big Ten teams, and I think it will be five SEC teams in the playoffs.
Yeah. So,
and that fifth team?
Georgia, Bama, Texas, Tennessee. Or Tennessee still?
Alabama, and Ole Miss.
Even if Tennessee loses this week?
A combination of these. So Texas, Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia, and either Tennessee or like an A&M sneaking back up there, depending on the outcome of that Texas game. Here's what I think. I think last night, it's pretty wild when you look at that top five to see four Big Ten teams in the top five. We have seen this happen virtually every year, where there is a big reaction to the first couple of releases. And then you go look at the end release, the final one, and it almost feels like they scrapped the entire thing and just redid it at the very end, or they like started from scratch at the very end, which is what they're technically supposed to do, but they're not really doing that until the end. I think we're going to look back at this week's version of this playoff ranking, and at the end of the line, we're going to say, remember when it was front-loaded with Big Ten teams? It ended up that all these SEC teams on the bubble ended up sneaking their way just inside the bubble, and I also think there's another element in play, and that is that that committee understands the SEC basically has a gun to their head right now, and they are threatening to walk away if this thing doesn't work out favorably according to the SEC. Now, whether that's the way it's supposed to work or not, that's the way it's working. And I think that committee understands the score here, and I think that committee may in the back of their mind know in the end we're going to end up giving benefit of the doubt to all the SEC teams. Therefore, on the front end, let's weigh them down a little bit. Let's elevate the Big Ten teams a little bit. Let's put Penn State in the top four even though they've got a loss already, because it'll build us up enough equity to where we can't be called homers for the SEC until the very end. I think that's the way it's going to work out.
Yeah, listen, is it four enough for the SEC to not hold a gun to their heads?
I think if it works out that way, it is. Here's the way that I think it wouldn't be. If all of these two-loss teams just keep winning, if all that chalk holds, and you don't have, like, Georgia lose a third game, or you don't have Bama lose the Iron Bowl and drop down, if you don't have that happen, and it looks pretty much like it does now, no, four will not be enough for those people. And I would understand their argument, by the way, but four would not be enough for them. They would just scream from the mountaintops about this team that got screwed.
I would say Georgia play better. You know what? You were ousted last year in the postseason. If in fact, an Indiana gets to the championship game and they lose and Georgia sneaks in, it better be a two-loss Georgia team. You're right. Georgia needs this game a lot more than Tennessee does this week. That's for sure.
That's huge.
Where's the G-Tech? I shouldn't care about that except for what happened to Miami. So where's the G-Tech game at? Do you know?
Where's the what now?
The Georgia Tech game.
Where's Georgia?
That bowl called? Is that the Celery Bowl, or what is it when Georgia plays Georgia Tech?
It's called Good Old Fashioned Hate.
The Peach Bowl.
No, that's not.
Silver Buckets?
Josh is right, yeah.
It's at Georgia.
Wait, Good Old Fashioned Hate, is that real?
Yeah.
That's the name of it?
Yeah, until they outlaw the name because it hurts a feeling or two. Yeah,
well, they call it Clean Old Fashioned Hate, and now they can't call it that anymore because
it's called the Ty Cobb Bowl.
Wait. Why can't they call it Clean Old Fashioned?
Because there's hate in the title, probably.
We're going to always say it.
And I will, but they don't call it that officially anymore.
We need to call it the Ty Cobb Bowl.
They don't call it the World. They don't call it the cocktail party anymore. They don't call it the Red River Shootout anymore.
World's largest outdoor cocktail party.
They don't call it that anymore.
We have to be careful. Do you know how many lives are lost every year because the name of rivalry games impacts people? We've got to be responsible.
Lance, you're irresponsible.
Red River Shootout instead of rivalry.
No, it's rivalry instead of shootout.
And what
now
is it? So we're not doing cigar game with Tennessee and Alabama. What are we going to do? You can't vape either, or cigarettes. It's not going to be, God forbid, a cigarette.
But I do credit Oregon and Oregon State. They still call it the Civil War, and the Holy War is still the Holy War, so we're still hanging on there.
Yep, that's nice. That's nice. All right, Josh Pate, you're going to be, obviously, you're at Georgia, Tennessee this week.
I'm there.
You're there this week. Anything else that we missed talking about this week that is of utmost importance?
I've got a close eye, and it's random, but I've got a close eye on Arizona State at Kansas State. If they can win that game and Brigham Young beats Kansas, Brigham Young goes to Arizona State next week. That would be one of the sneaky biggest games in the country. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but Kenny Dillingham
is
kind of getting lost in the weeds, and he's doing some good things out in Tempe.
They were so bad last year. I was working with them on an NIL thing last year for John Daspit, and it's talking to Butterfield, his number two, and like it was such a mess over there, such a mess. It's incredible what they've done in 1 year, really incredible.
And Herm still has him in trouble over there too. So nicely done, nice. You left him nicely there, Herm. All right, that is Josh Pate, brought to you by Bobcat of Houston and Damaris Barbecue. every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Josh, as always, man, we appreciate it. All right, Josh Pate with us here every week on Wednesday. That's one of my favorites. And you know what else is one of my favorites? Coors Light. Cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. I love me some Coors Lights. I hope you do too. If you don't, if you haven't tried it, please try it. Please. Drink responsibly, but get those Blue Mountains in your refrigerator. Because your friends will come over and they're going to go, yeah, nice. Hey, this is nice. Okay, we want to be refreshed. We don't want to be drinking oil, motor oil, like that dark beer. Get out of here with that bitter taste. Get out of here. Beat it. Beat it, bitter beer. We want cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. And that's what we got every time when we open up a Coors Light. It is the world's most refreshing beer. I love me some Coors Lights. I hope you do, too. If you haven't tried them yet, please do. If you have, I know you're drinking them. Order your Coors Light whenever, wherever you go. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That's good stuff. That is college football at its best. That's what I'm talking about. Love some Josh Pate segment.
Josh Pate's good. Josh Pate is going to be the star of college football within 2 years. Like, yeah. You ought to see already. Now, Del, what are you doing in there? Get in front of the camera if you're going to do that. So, he's already... The biggest fanboys are on college campuses. They love my son. Like, Dad, Josh Pate is here. Josh Pate is here. I said, well, I'll text him. Go say hi to Josh. He's like, you know, all of Alex's age guys, you'll see videos with college, you know, fans will run down. The bros will run down to take pictures with him. Like, he is a star. He is a star with young college football fans. So, He's gonna be a really big deal. He's already getting to be a really big deal. But he brings up some pretty good points. I don't know if I agree with all of them. I'm kind of on the same plane as you. I think Indiana has played exceptionally good football all year long. And so then we're going to – I mean, in a perfect world, Georgia would probably just lose to Tennessee and we're done having that conversation. I don't think Georgia can win. I don't think they can win a championship. Their quarterback's not good enough. He's just – As a matter of fact, I'm going back to school if I'm Carson Beck and taking an NIL deal somewhere. Either back at Georgia or I'm going – I think he's got another year. I don't think he's a senior. I think he's a junior. I'm going to take an NIL deal either at Georgia or I'm going somewhere else, and I'm going to go get money from them, and I'm not going to the pros because he's not ready to be a pro. A, his draft stock is going to slide, and B, who said that they can help you win on the fly? Like, who said you're going to move up on the fly? As far as the first quarterback drafted, it might be Shedeur Sanders, but Deion already came out. I'm sure you saw the video where basically everyone was licking him. And on the panel, they were doing a lot of collective licking. And they're like, Deion, if somebody drafts your son in the top four picks, are you going to tell him what they – you can find the video, I'm sure. And Deion basically says, no, if it's – yeah, he's not going there. But he did say something I like. He said – I'm not going to do it publicly. I'm going to do it privately. And I appreciate that. I think that's the key. I think Deion's done too much. I think he's already said too much publicly that this player's not going to go here, his player's not going to go there. All it does is hurt your – I already had one executive call him, like, this is going to be LeVar. And I don't think he's wrong. LeVar Ball 2.0. Because no matter – and his point was this. And think about this. I hadn't really thought of this. If you draft Shedeur Sanders and he doesn't immediately succeed – you are going to have all of social media, which has become so strong because it also, their opinions end up on all the shows on ESPN, for example. It's going to turn into the offensive coordinator's bad. We don't have the general manager's bad. We don't have enough players. We don't have enough help. They're not calling the right plays for Shedeur. Nothing will be his fault. Nothing will be his fault. Or you'll have people in your own fan base who get tired of these brand new fans. We'll just call them Jets fans. Brand new Jets fans, for example, will come in who've never been Jets fans, who are only the Shedeur fans, and they'll be browbeating the fan base about this, 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 and this, and you'll have, you know, his point was it's going to cause so much unnecessary drama and tension. And then you're going to have to start answering to your owner because Deion's going to start talking publicly. And if he does, and if the team's not playing well, if Shador's not playing well, it's not going to be Shador's fault. It's going to be the general manager's fault, right? It's going to be the play caller. It's going to be the head coach. And the owner, yeah, even if he's a strong owner, he's going to have to deal with the public sentiment of we've got to get rid of everybody. Like, you draft Shador, and he said if you draft Shador, he has to immediately succeed or your entire organization's in trouble. Because Deion is going to be out there publicly bashing you guys.
Oh, yeah, no.
Well, you have to hire.
I think that's true. Do you think it's true that Deion will bash you publicly? If
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
You're not blaming the kid if things go poorly. Do you think it's a thing where the Sanders just infiltrate the entire organization, where Shiloh has to be an undrafted free agent, Deion Sanders Jr. has to be your filmographer, he has to be on your social media team?
Are you joking or are you being serious?
I'm serious.
That's what I was worried, you're being serious.
You think I'm kidding?
That's what LeVar wanted.
You think whoever drafts Shador, you don't think...
They have to draft Shiloh?
Don't have to draft him. He's not draftable.
Make him a coach?
A UDFA. He has to be a camp invite. Deion Sanders Jr.
Good Lord.
Has to film.
That's
he has to
terrible.
Be given access to film.
That's terrible what you're saying. I was listening to the broadcast, the Texas Tech broadcast against Colorado, and their color commentator and play-by-play guy in the second half, they're saying, you know, one of the things that's not getting said here, and you already know, I think Deion's doing an incredible job this year. I think they're a great story. That too much overhype and oversaturation last year's led people to pull back this year, but really he's done. You know, and that's great. It's great for Shador and Deion that it's not, you know, I don't think it's too much this year. And Travis Hunter right now is the front runner to win the Heisman. But anyway, they said that Texas Tech had to make so many allowances for extra people on sideline because there's a film crew. Like, they had to suspend rules that they have just because of this documentary film crew.
Why did they have to? It's their home building. Why do they have to?
I guess they don't have to, but it would also turn into
a thing.
Maybe worried about it be a thing on Netflix or whatever, wherever the documentary is going to air, that would turn into a thing. We already saw it was a thing when Cam Newton went over and tried to shake hands with Shador and Travis Hunter, and they are like,
it was a thing at the game where the ball boy, he probably could have asked or waited, but he tried to grab the ball out of Shiloh's hand. The ball hit the ground.
Well, I didn't see that.
Final scoop and score. Shiloh scoop and score to put the game away, I believe.
And to cover.
Well, important for some people, certainly. The ball boy, is trying to get the ball back because it was on offense, so it's their ball. And when he grabbed at it and it hit the ground, Shiloh grabbed that, and then Shador came over because he was celebrating with his brother, had a talking to the kid. And then Deion Sanders Jr., who had a camera in his hand, was the most demonstrative of them all, talking to the ball boy.
What? About what?
Yeah.
Hey, don't try to grab the ball, even though, no, it's
his
job.
Ball.
It's his job to get the ball, but they didn't like that he tried
so
to grab
Sanders
it out of his hand.
The Sanders family had to have a talking to.
Oh, yeah, all
with
three
the
of them
boy.
Did.
Yes.
All three of them did.
This is exactly what the guy's talking about. And although it's not going to matter, Deion, I don't think it's going to matter. But when you draft Shador now, he's incredibly entitled. He always has been. He's never been coached as a head coach by anybody on the collegiate level but his dad. Who lets him, you know, nothing's ever his fault. It's always the offensive line. It's always Deion deflects anything from Shador if Shador doesn't play well. Shador's got talent, but you have to remember that when you go to an NFL team, they don't, just like with Lonzo Ball and LaMelo Ball, the two good ones, not the Jello Ball, they don't want to have to deal with that. Now I think there's going to be a lot of teams who need quarterback, and you have to get vetted by Deion. Deion has to bless you that you can draft his son. And then once you get that blessing, just know that Deion's going to be out there on TV all the time, either praising you or crapping on you, realistically. And Shador, is he coachable? I don't know. I don't know if Shador is he coachable outside of Deion?
How do you get Deion's blessing?
You know, though.
I don't know how you get Deion's blessing.
You know what, though?
Uh-oh. No.
That you all want you to pray. Let's pray it out loud. Let's not be scared. Let's pray it out loud. Daddy, please fill me.
That's not Daddy. A callback that we
now,
wanted.
Bill. You didn't even want to play it. Now you're playing it every second.
Now that has been played.
Now that John's giving you the free pass.
It's out. It's out Daddy. Of the bag.
Now anytime Daddy comes up, that's what.
Daddy, please. That you all want you to pray. Let's pray it out loud. Let's not be scared. Let's pray it out loud. Daddy, please fill me.
No, God. No, we're not. No, we're not.
You know what, though? I will say this. LeVar has gone away. You know what? His act got old, and LeVar is gone. We haven't heard from LeVar, which is awesome.
At all.
And you know what? We won't hear from – there will be a time – No. There will be a time that Deion is going to have his say, and he's going to be doing all this stuff, but it will end.
He's going to be
realizing that he's hurting his kids.
No, I don't think he cares. I really don't think he cares. I think Deion thinks he's bigger than – I think he thinks he's as big as the game at least. I think Deion – now, he's got way more sense than LeVar Ball. I do think that. But he's going to be in a media entity, or he's going to be – he'll either be coaching somewhere. There's no chances at Colorado. Y'all can try to sell that if you want. No one's buying it. Colorado
well, they're fans. Having the conversation, and it's
about
ESPN,
Dallas.
So not surprising. He won't be able to talk about us. Well, I guess he can talk about his kid if he's the coach of the Cowboys.
No, you can't. It's actually.
What if
he can't talk
Shador
about
is the quarterback?
Well, you can't.
Can he rip another organization while he's the coach of the Cowboys?
I think the only way he'd go to the Cowboys is he'd say if you have to draft Shador.
Yeah,
and he already said I don't want to go coach.
That's not happening.
He already said I don't want to go coach with guys who are going to be making that much money. He basically said what I already kind of thought. I don't think Deion could survive in pro football because he's going to be as big or bigger than the players in many regards. And they're not going to like it. B, I don't think it shouldn't be that way with a head coach.
He doesn't like this NFL, that's for sure. All right, we got a break. Quick assist is what we got to talk about now.
Yeah, quick assist. Oh, my gosh. Are they getting amazing prices for tickets right now? I talked to a friend who used them for the first time. I was very happy to hear this. I had a friend who used Quick Assist who heard me talking about them on the radio, and he said, man, I got so much. He said the thing that he liked most is it was no hassle. When he went and put them on StubHub, for example, he had to go in there. He had to go through the whole things to get them listed. He had to decide to set his price. And to do that, he was going through all the different sections and trying to make a decision about what would happen with the price. You know what they do at Quick Assist? They'll list it on StubHub, on SeatGeek, on all these different Vivid. They list it on 15 different ticket sites for you. They handle the pricing of it. They move the pricing up and down relative to what the marketplace looks like. They have dynamic pricing baked into their algorithm. And so they're getting you the best prices with the most eyes because it's listed on 15-plus sites. And then as soon as your tickets sell, boom, they take them off. They immediately take them off of every other site for you so you don't have any hassle there. They got 100% success rate on selling, so they're going to sell your tickets, and they're going to do it for the most money for you. Never has there been a better assist than Quick Assist to help you sell your tickets, whether it's a single game or even if you want to do it throughout the course of a season with your season tickets. College football, college basketball, pro football, pro basketball, Major League Baseball, hockey. It's Quick Assist. Make sure you go download the app. Quick Assist, ASYST, Quick Assist.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did we miss today, Del? Did we miss anything?
We talked about the greatness of day one NBA Cup. KPJ's coming to town.
Yep.
For the Rockets' debut in the NBA Cup tonight. CFP rankings.
Jose Altuve.
Silver Slugger. Lance tried to trick us into saying Jim Crane is cheap.
I didn't try to trick you. I asked why you didn't think a Japanese pitcher would be on the Astros' radar.
Hey, Roy Oswalt says the same. He said, hey, why aren't the Astros in on this? This kid is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Roki is going to be a top five pitcher in the league.
So you don't like Roy Oswalt?
I love Roy Oswalt.
Sounds like Jeff Bagwell needs to beat it, or Roy Oswalt gets in there and takes over Reggie Jackson's spot.
Well,
because I like what Roy Oswalt is selling right there.
Yeah, I like that too.
I reached out to Roy to see if I could get him on the air on the show. Nothing.
You did?
Yeah. Crickets.
Uh-huh. Well, that, at least you did.
Of course,
something.
I'm also, he doesn't follow me, so it's probably sitting in his little folder of people that don't follow you and you have to approve it.
Probably.
Roy's not looking through his DMs like, I wonder who wants to get a hold of me that I need to accept their questions so that they can continue to contact me. That would be nobody.
Yeah, no. Chad Forbes put this out.
Immediately
Bears
suspect.
Next head coach, Cliff Kingsbury.
Nope. Next question.
Well, he's done a hell of a job with Jaden.
Nope. He ain't getting too bad. We've seen Cliff. Nope. No head coach.
Cowboys next head coach, Bill Belichick.
Ben Johnson will be the next head coach of the Chicago Bears.
You think so?
Yep.
He's speaking of the Bears.
I think Ryan Poles wants to stick with Matt Eberflus, but he ain't going to be alive. He's
not
going
to be able to do that.
No chance.
He can't
no
do
chance.
It. He's got to find the right guy.
Well, the Bears just released Nate Davis, the guard they signed the offseason. So
good.
Things
put
are
him
going.
On your practice squad. Great. I don't want a Bears reject.
You don't want Nate Davis here?
No, I don't want a Bears reject. I don't care. Put him on the practice squad. He doesn't pass block. No, I'd rather have Juice and Patterson.
Then no. He's got Jaguars getting Ben Johnson, Jets getting Mike Vrabel, Raiders Drew Petzing.
See, I think Vrabel's too much. Like, you've gone in two way different directions. You went with Adam Gase, psychopath, supposedly an offensive guy. Then you went with Robert Saleh, who you would think would be good. It's just Aaron Rodgers. I'd say it. Aaron Rodgers has just sucked all the life out of that building. I had a friend who used to work in the building. He didn't say anything negative about Aaron. He just said things have changed. I think the ownership is going to be a concern over there. I think that you have a general manager who's dead man walking in Joe Douglas. You've got a quarterback who's bossed everyone around. It's just a mess, man. There's no way that team should be that bad. Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams, Devontae, Garrett Wilson, like, holy crap. And Quincy Williams is a good player. And they're this bad? Golly. And a lot of it is right there on Rodgers. You literally point to Aaron Rodgers. If you had average, can you imagine how much better they'd be with Kirk Cousins? Never thought I'd say that. Just Kirk Cousins over Aaron Rodgers, how much better they would be?
Yeah. Okay, one thing we didn't get to. And let's play it. Let's play Chris Sims talking about what defenses have figured out about the Texans' offensive line. I know Chris Sims, blah, 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 blah. But let's see if we agree or disagree with what Chris Sims has to say about the way the Texans' offensive line is going about this.
Institutional problems. You mentioned it. The injuries at receiver are an issue. It's second year of Bobby Slowick's scheme, and I do think people have caught on to that. I've said a little bit on my podcast and Chris Sims Unbuttoned that, yeah, it's the Shanahan scheme, but it's like the early entry level of the Shanahan scheme. And now there needs to be more to it and a next level and a next group of plays and things they do. And we've yet to see that. But the big thing is what you said, Kevin. It's the protection. And it's not only the protection of the men themselves, the Jimmys and the Joes up front, which there's issues there in the interior. But there's been games, whether you go back to Green Bay and other games too, where the schematics of how they block up front are an issue. And defenses have figured out how to expose them and how they block certain looks and kind of trick them. And that's been a big problem from them too. And that's led C.J. Stroud to be under duress and not enough good plays or plans against the blitz from the Houston Texans offense.
What do you think?
I think it's a pretty good point. I think that the entry-level stuff, it's a little – he's talking about Gary Kubiak, where it's very basic stuff. I would say it's above that, but relative to what you have in the league, I think it's actually a pretty decent point in terms of how you get there. A lot of times you watch San Francisco, and if I told you Kyle Shanahan and Gary Kubiak both come from the same family tree of offensive scheme and play calling, you'd say there's no way. They don't look the same at all. That's because Shanahan's changed a lot of it. He's modernized it. And I would say that argument is probably a fair argument that sometimes Bobby is not creative enough at just creating. All you're trying to do is just create chaos with looks. It doesn't mean that once a ball snapped, the plays, the route combinations are similar. But what are you doing with how it looks? Like, you can't figure out. Like, one of the things that is a classic, it's a classic look of Gary Kubiak and the West Coast offense is three tight end look, and then they throw deep post with one of the or deep flag route with one of the tight ends on a multi combination. They have combination routes, and you're attacking with your tight ends, and it's a three tight end look, and you think it's supposed to be run, and then they beat you up with play action. It was a classic Gary Kubiak move, but then I saw another team run it this last week, but it was run. It looked different, like how you get to it matters, how you motion guys and are you create the alignment stuff. I think right now the ultimate play caller in the league is Andy Reid. We can try to get slick with it and say Ben Johnson, and Ben Johnson really is. Liam Cohen is very good from Tampa Bay. But Andy Reid, you know what I love? Like, what about Andy Reid will borrow stuff from college if he sees it. He'll put it in that week. The one where you run two tight ends to the right, they're like two tight ends are offset, and he's basically just going to run it in that direction, and he's got a counter where, you know, it's basically like a sweep play where they just get downhill, and they've got bigger bodies over there to block you, but he's also got a counter play where he throws out of that. It's like Bobby's going to have to dial up some creative stuff to keep defenses on their toes. That's what he has to do because right now
Bobby dialed something up and CJ screwed it up. Bobby had something.
Oh, no, that was a good play. Yeah, you're talking about the tank. Like, we can't just say – we can't say it's all CJ, but we definitely can't say it's all Bobby Slug. CJ's
not
playing. CJ Stroud is trying to tell you CJ fans that, hey, I'm not doing good enough.
Yep.
D'Amico Ryan's told you that. I mean, you can listen to D'Amico and CJ if you want, or you can act like it's only play calling. It's more – it's offensive line. It's I think it's being too predictable for Slowick. I think it's CJ not – I think he's rushing things right now. But he's rushing or he's not playing in rhythm. That was a case of not playing in rhythm, John.
Yep. All right, we got a break. We got News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now we got John Daspit.
John Daspit of Daspit Law Firm. Who's going to do a better job than John Daspit when it comes to looking out for you when you've been injured in a car accident? I'll stick with car accident. He has a lot of different things that he a lot of different things that he works for in terms of personal injury, a lot of different levels of the law, a lot of different types. But when it comes to personal injury, when you're out on the roadway, what happens is, let's say you've had someone T-bone you, somebody ran through a stoplight, hit you, caused damage, typical Houston stuff that we see all the time. That could be you. You could be that person. You could be that person on a wet roadway where you get hit and you spin and you get hit by another car. And before you know it, you've got a broken leg. The passenger side is going to the hospital with a neck or back injury. You know, and your thoughts are, oh, my gosh, what do we do? Well, the first thing you do is call John Daspit. He's going to make sure you got to get to the hospital. You got to get your x-rays, your MRIs, your CAT scans. Let's make sure you're doing okay. And if you're hurt, which you know you're hurt, they want to isolate what it is, and they want to get it fixed. And it's important because John Daspit's going to make sure that all that comes out of the insurance side. All of it comes from the other person's insurance. He's going to get you paid for the time you miss from work. He's going to get you money for your pain and suffering. All of these things are John Daspit, and John Daspit specifically, because he does the best job at getting you big settlements and taking care of what it is that's going to be bothering you and your family when you don't have the opportunity to make your income over a certain period of time and pay your hospital bills. Make sure that you reach out to John Daspit, 713, call now or go to DaspitLaw.com.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Well, here's a question, and I'm not sure that there's a right answer. Will pregnant Texas drivers be free to use HOV lanes? Do you think that there are two people in the car if a woman is pregnant?
That kind of depends on your methodology, right? Because I don't want to get into the politics of it, but for some people, they would say, yes, there's two people in that car. So why shouldn't a pregnant woman be allowed to drive if you feel that way in the HOV lane?
That really is against the spirit of the law.
Well,
the spirit of the policy is to put more people in cars so that we use less carbon.
Well, so if there's a five-year-old in the car, that's okay, even though we know the five-year-old isn't driving anyway? They still count
well,
as two people.
Whoever is in the car isn't driving.
Should it be an adult age person?
Is that
the rule?
Yes, that should be it.
A person who could actually drive, a licensed driver, but who happens to be sitting in the car with you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Because how it stands right now, why would the pregnant woman be disallowed? The two-year-old can't drive either, and that would count.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, either way, the kid beat it. You're a passenger around here. That's all. You're just a freeloader. Beat it, kid. A man declares himself to be Jesus and beats up seven monks in a religious rampage. Do you think that man from Spain is Jesus?
I don't know if the actions of Jesus line up with what this man is saying, at least not the biblical version. So I'm going to say no. There's also this thing in the Bible about Jesus is going to show up, but not like that. If I read the Bible correctly, he'll come back, but it won't be like this.
Well, Jesus did get pissed off when they were selling all kinds of
remember,
stuff in the church.
But I don't think he tossed the stuff aside, got them all out of there, but I don't remember him beating up people and then
turned over the tables. Well, maybe this Jesus, maybe he's a little pissed off at us now.
I just don't know if he would excuse his actions by saying, I'm Jesus. I am Jesus. I'll do what I want.
Well, I know that's a problem. That seems to be a problem. Jesus shouldn't go around beating up people. I know that. I don't think Jesus should.
Do you think he's an accomplished fighter, Jesus? He's a brawler, a scrapper, a boxer. What do you think he is?
I think if Jesus wanted to be, Jesus could be anything he wants. So I'm sure he could be UFC champ. Yes, if he wanted to.
Okay. Is he a middleweight? What's Jesus? Flyweight? What is he?
He could be anything he wants.
Okay.
That's all. I don't think it matters who he's fighting. Jesus could win. That's my thought on it. Apparently, Japan is really going all in. Japan says they don't want to ban women from marrying after the age of 25 in a bizarre proposal to boost the birth rate in Japan. They also say women over 30 would have their uteruses removed.
So are they saying so that they want to ban marriage for any woman over 25? And then if you're 30, you can no longer have kids?
That's it.
So
that because they're not having kids, they want to push everybody to start having kids early.
So what if you're unmarried and 26? You can still have a kid. Is there a law against having kids if you're unmarried?
No, but if you don't have a uterus, it's going to be hard.
Well, I said 26. 30 is the cutoff.
30, yeah, you're right. Well, you can have kids, but you can't get married after 25.
Oh, so you can be a single mother between 25 and 30.
That doesn't seem like it's promoting that great.
What's the deal with removing the uterus? You can have a kid at 31 years old.
Apparently not. Well,
that's biologically allowed.
We got to get going. Move it. Get a move on. All right? 30? You old. We ain't having no
more
kids.
I'm not in favor of physically restricting people by removing a uterus, but I would say, what's the big deal about kids anyway? Why are we pushing kids? It's fine if you don't have kids.
Not in Japan. Apparently, they are really, really, really. In a murder-for-hire case in Uttar Pradesh, apparently the hitman was promised 20 locks, but they only paid him one. So you know what he did? He went to the cops.
And is lots of whatever that is, the money in that country, is that what you're saying?
Money in that country.
I don't think... After agreeing to a murder for hire. Look, we saw the movie Hitman on Netflix. Yeah. Where he was actually already working for the cops as opposed to going there when they didn't pay him. You can't accept the deal and then when they back out, go to the police. What do you want them to be charged with? Not paying you?
I think everybody's going to be charged once that happens.
Once you open it up to the cops and go, hey, look, I was hired to murder someone and I accept it, but they didn't give me my money. Everyone's in trouble.
Can you do something about this? Can you make them give me my money?
Give us their names, but we're going to detain you as well. That's what we're going to do.
It's a dumb hitman. Dumb. But the hitman in that show got the hot girl, so.
Yes. Yeah. That's all that ever matters, right?
That's all that ever matters. He wins, even though he's a hitman.
He was
a fake
hitman.
He wasn't really a hitman.
He was working with the police.
Yeah, he wasn't really a hitman. So everybody, it's
the girl. Didn't the girl hire him and then... through the course of the movie, they wound up falling in love.
Yes, yes, all that. We're done. The Del V2 show next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, along with Mapesy. The Del and Mapesy show next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, I'm talking about HRP. I'm talking about the greatness that is HRP. I want you and look at your business. I want you to look at your bottom line. I want you to take a real evaluation of it. Can you take a real evaluation of it? I don't know, because you're pretty, you're not objective about this whole thing, right? You're biased. Oh, we're doing this great. We're doing that great. How about have somebody else look at it? An HRP will come in, and they'll tell you whether or not they can help you. I'm telling you, they will be honest with you. Hey, we can help you save money here. Look at what you're paying for your benefits packages. Look at what you're paying for your insurance. Look at what you're paying for your payroll. Look at what you're paying for your HR. Look at what you're paying for your taxes. Okay? They will do all of that, and they will come up with a plan for you. And I'm telling you, they're going to save you money. They're just going to save you money. If you haven't done this in a while, if you haven't looked at the way you're doing business, if you feel like maybe we're wasting some money here, if you feel like maybe you're getting screwed over by your admin company, then let's go. Go with HRP. HRP.net, or at least get a free consultation on what you're doing. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.